This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Questions surrounding the availability of Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, who's currently in the NFL's concussion protocol. But according to 610 Sports Radio Kansas City morning show host Bob Fesco, he says there are other concerns for the Chiefs.
Is it weird to say that I'm more concerned about some other injuries than I am about Patrick Mahomes? Because Patrick's going to play on Sunday. There's really no doubt in anybody's mind right now. And that was kind of the feel coming out of the game on, you know, Sunday. And I honestly think there's more concern about his toe than there is about the whole concussion thing. So I think from a Mahomes standpoint, he's going to be out there. He's going to play. But the one that I think, you know, is not getting enough conversation is Breshad Breeland, one of their starting defensive backs, who left the game with a concussion as well. And he's a very valuable piece to the Chiefs' defense, and the way that Buffalo's been throwing the ball all over the place, got a bunch of wide receivers that can get you. He's the type of guy you want out there and playing. So he's kind of the one that I'm really keeping my eye on this week when it comes to an injury standpoint of who may miss and who could be a valuable piece if they're not playing in this game.
610 Sports Radio Kansas City morning show host Bob Fesco on My Guys of the Desert, heard weekdays 5-7 Eastern on VSiN. The Kansas City Chiefs are the 3-point favorite over the Buffalo Bills. Breshad Breeland, concussion in the divisional round win over the Browns. He had 2 picks and 9 passes defended in the regular season, 6 tackles and a pass defended in the win over the Browns. He remains in the NFL's concussion protocol as well. On Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard, Mitch and Paulie discuss the line for this matchup and when will Bill's money show up.
And more discussion about where this number will go. And I know Johnny Avello and others have said they expect Chiefs money once we find out, and it looks like it's going to be Mahomes. I'm not so sure about that, though. Because as Mike Baum said yesterday, we talked about on Monday show, how about all the Browns money? If they're going to bet the Browns like that, double-fisted, why won't they bet the Bills? Because everyone knows this, that the Bills are a machine right now, and they're 9-1 ATS in their last 10. Kansas City's 0-8-1 ATS slide. Again, they haven't covered since the Jets game November 1st. Bills are getting it done every week, and not to mention what they're doing straight up, yeah, with the exception of the Hail Mary. I mean, they're hot. And every time you go to the window and say, give me Buffalo, you're cashing tickets. Every time you go to the window, you're betting the Chiefs, you're losing. Yeah. I mean, people remember that. And then you just saw, you know, again, it's 19-3 at halftime. And then he gets hurt, and you know what happens. But they bet that down to 7.5. If they're going to bet the Browns, they're going to bet the hottest team in the league.
That's what I thought, too. I mean, I thought when, again, I'll go back to Sunday, when Mahomes did not get hurt yet, he's still in the game, and books had Chiefs up -4. I thought, oh, my God, money's going to come in on the Bills for sure. And I talked to guys at the books, and Jeff Sherman just, we took 3 bets on the Chiefs -4. That was it.
Mitch and Paulie, Follow the Money, weekday morning 7-10 Eastern on VSiN, discussing the line for the Kansas City Chiefs-Buffalo Bills game in the AFC Championship. The Chiefs at 1 point, a 2.5-point favorite, now laying 3, the total 53.5 at Arrowhead. In the NFC title game, the Green Bay Packers, 3.5-point favorites at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's another huge weekend of the NFL, but your betting card is full every day of the week with the NHL, the NBA, and college basketball. The VSiN experts are working on every sport every day to give you a betting edge. Subscribers get all of your insights and analysis for the NFL playoff matchups at our new NHL betting guide to help you make the most informed betting decisions possible. Become a VSiN All-Access subscriber today, vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe.
With your action update, I'm Mike Senna.
Get the latest VSiN odds at vsin.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
It's the most exciting time of the sports betting year. With football playoffs, pro and college hoops, hockey, golf, soccer, tennis, and with all this action, you need the analysis and insights from VSiN sports betting experts more than ever. Get daily email best bets from our hosts and guests, 24/7 video streaming, and our point spread weekly betting guides to improve your betting IQ and give yourself an edge. Invest in your sports betting success with a VSiN subscription today at vsin.com/subscribe. subscribe.
Did you miss a VSiN show? We have multiple daily and weekly podcasts to keep you up to date on all the latest sports betting action. VSiN Best Bets bringing you the highlights from our daily lineup of shows, including Follow the Money and A Numbers Game. Market Insights with Josh Applebaum gets you ready with the latest lines and action. Beating the Book with Gail Alexander provides the insider view on analytics-based betting strategy from professional bettors, handicappers, and sportsbook operators. Visit vsin.com/podcast today to find all of our podcast options.
All right, second hour of the show. Mitch Moss is going to be with us moments from now. We'll discuss National Football League, what he's thinking. His Packers on the verge of going to the Super Bowl. And then, of course, a little bit of NBA, too, as we will see. What we saw from last night, spin that forward into an MVP candidacy for LeBron James, maybe. Also, Drew Martin's going to be with us. We get his thoughts not only on the NFL as well, as we're kind of doing a lot of NFL today. I wonder why. But the fact, of course, we'll have I was getting a text from Bill 80, my boss. I feel like I should pay attention to that. We'll discuss college hoops with Drew as I stumble through that. Let's bring in Mitch. Now, let's get this over with because I'm just stumbling and bumbling and really down the home stretch, the final show, and it's just a nightmare. Mitch, what's up, bud?
And mailing it in today, huh?
You got no idea. Mitch, I'm telling you right now, I got a PlayStation 5 the other day. I don't have to be on the air anymore after this one. I get to sleep past about 4 a.m. You don't. I'm mailing it in. I think the package has already been received wherever it's gone.
Yes, 5. How old are you?
I am 30, and I'm proud of it.
Oh, God. You know, when I can I sound like I'm 74 right now?
Go ahead.
I have not played video games or PlayStation since 2004.
Oh, boy. Well, I thought, no.
How about that?
I thought you got, if I'm remembering this, and this is back at our days where we worked together with local radio, didn't you, like, when they had that big, was it the old Super Nintendo or whatever, where they remade it? I thought you went and got one of those.
Oh, well, I guess that qualifies. Yeah, the Mini Nintendo. You know, yeah. I forgot about that. So I do have that with a bunch of games. Yeah, but I after Madden, Vic was on the cover, I think, in 04. After that season, I said, yeah, that'll do it for me. No, I mean, I can't even imagine what I've missed out on in the last 15 years and how good video games are. As we well, thanks for having me on, by the way, to help, I guess, what, eulogize you and the Edge here today. Okay, it's been a good run, man.
It has been. Actually, I didn't want to talk about sports. I just wanted you to talk about me for the next about 17 minutes or so. So go ahead. I can't even get it out. By the way, I even made the joke earlier today, Mitch. I've never seen our producer Aaron in a better mood than this morning. Like, he was greeting the staff.
Is that right?
Oh, dude, he was jubilant.
He brought in donuts for everybody for the first time.
Of course.
He's handing out, like, parlays for the weekend for, like, gifts out of nowhere. Hey, it's a great day, man. JVT finally out the door. See
right. By the way, we've only been working together for, like, 3 weeks, so what does that say about me? He's already happy. All right. Let's talk brass tacks here, Mitch. Let's start with your Packers. Packers and Bucks. This number here at the South Point is now up to 4, 51.5 or 52 the total. So what's the read on this? Because, you know, I was watching Follow the Money last week, and I don't want to put words in your mouth. If I remember correctly, you guys both were talking very strongly about, you know, the point that I was kind of making last week. Bucks versus top defenses, really struggling, haven't been that great. They still didn't look that good offensively against the New Orleans Saints. So how do you spin that forward into this matchup with the Green Bay Packers, who have looked like a well-oiled machine and gouged one of the better defenses in the NFL and the Los Angeles Rams last week?
Well, so when I look at Green Bay and, you know, how they're going to actually approach this game, you know, when you go back to last year, When they played the 49ers twice, I mean, they got beat up in those games both times, JBT. And I remember saying then, like, if those two teams played 10 times, I'm not sure if Green Bay would win one game. Because Green Bay, this is not like a one-year thing, but Green Bay, they've had problems in, you know, previous years with really physical teams that'll blitz you and hit you in the mouth. But basically a bunch of Dan Campbell disciples, right? They're going to butt your kneecaps off. They've had problems with those kind of teams. So a small part of me thinks that this could be the one team that would give Green Bay fits if they played 10 times. Like, this defense, that blitzing, the coaching would maybe get to Rodgers a lot, and it would make it very difficult for Green Bay to win, you know, any of those games. The other part of me says, well, look at that game overall in week 6. It's a long time ago. Green Bay was off the bye. which, by the way, they have not been historically like great off the bye. Mm-hmm. Devontae Adams was making his comeback after missing 2.5 games. There was no Lazard in that contest. And if you go back and look at the other defenses that are comparable to Tampa's that were on Green Bay's schedule, like they did not have a lot of problems. I know they had 4 turnovers against the Colts. They had 28 points at halftime in that game. And it was the Colts' offense who dominated the second half, and Green Bay's defense could not get the Colts off the field, and it went to overtime, and they lost. But in terms of, you know, the blitz getting to Rodgers, that game, the Buccaneers absolutely got to him a lot. And we've known now since then they've been one of the best pass-blocking offensive lines in the entire league. And when they played the Bears, the top 10 defense, and the Rams last week, I know Donald was hurt, and the Colts, and the Saints, if you want to go back to, like, week 3, they had like little to zero problems with the defensive line, with the blitzing. So they gave Rodgers plenty of time. And this year, Aaron Rodgers is going to win the MVP. And it's like when you gave him a clean pocket, he was pretty much automatic. He was the best quarterback in football under those situations. And so if they can keep him clean this week, and if they don't turn the ball over like the Saints did last week, I bet the Packers -3 when it got there for that one day this week when it was flat at -3. I'm happy with that bet, and I'm curious now, no Antonio Brown, up to 4, you said at South Point. I'm wondering, it can't go much higher than 4, I wouldn't think, but I like the Packers to win the game. I like them to cover that 3 that I got.
Yeah, I mean, look, I actually took 4 with the Bucks early in the week because I just thought it was going to hover around 3 all week. So I'm actually relatively surprised that we're back here at that 4, and I would think that we don't get to that 4.5 that some spots open back up, but we've seen crazier things, right?
Yeah, unless the public just completely pounds Green Bay over the next, 24 to 36 hours, forcing books to go to 4.5, but it's going to take a lot, I would think.
Yep. So here's my other question about this before we move on from it. You know, I've made a big case throughout the entire season, right? And it was one of the reasons we had Brad Evans on last week. He does a great job with FTM Fantasy. He does a lot of prop bets. Cam Akers over on his rushing yards. That front 7 for Green Bay has not been good against the run. And the Bucs, for some reason, Mitch, are like mind-boggling so. Runs on first downs and early downs, trying to establish the run with Leonard Fournette. Is that kind of a worry here? Is that an angle for you potentially on props? Are you worried maybe about this front 7 facing, it's surprising to say with all the weapons that they have, but the rushing attack of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Yeah, and the guy that I would look at in their backfield would actually be Ronald Jones and not Leonard Fournette, because Jones, his prop number is what, low to mid 30s for the rushing yards? And Bruce Arians, I mean, trying to get a gauge on what he's going to do and which guy's going to get the bulk of the carries on a week-in and week-out basis has been borderline, completely unpredictable. But I think Jones has a spot in this game to maybe go over that 32.5, I believe, is where it's around. I kind of like him. And, you had a guest on the show. I think it was Eric from Pro Football Focus on Monday. He was befuddled at how many times they ran the ball against the Saints, especially in early down situations, and he thought it would be a total trap to do that again or a bad idea against the Packers. I think that might be the way that you can actually beat Green Bay more than, relying on the pass. There's no Antonio Brown. Jair Alexander is the number one rated cornerback on Pro Football Focus. I don't know if he's going to shadow Mike Evans for the entire game. That's probably not going to happen, but I think he's going to be on him for a lot of the game. So I think that he can shut down or neutralize a guy like Evans. So I think maybe the way to attack this Green Bay defense would be to use like Gronk and Cameron Brate a little bit more for Brady, throwing to them. But also I'm not going to be surprised if it's kind of a two-headed monster with Fournette and Jones this week, and they want to establish the run. I will not fall off my couch if that's their game plan.
All right, AFC Championship game. Your initial thoughts here. I thought, I have the Chiefs -3. Did not think it would get to 2.5, and I think ultimately that's an overreaction to what we're seeing here. I don't think it was ever in question that Kansas City was not going to have Patrick Mahomes. So what's your read here? I think it's a discount. I thought this should be like we saw from the Westgate, right? During the games on Sunday last week, Mitch, they opened this Chiefs -4. Mahomes get injured, and we know what happened throughout this week. But what's your read here is the Bills continue to cover numbers left and right.
Well, let me ask you this. What is your reaction to, and I talked to, I sent a quick text over to Jeff Sherman at the Westgate on Sunday. When, again, it's like early second half of that game, Mahomes is still in it for the Chiefs. He's not hurt at this point. They have a commanding lead over the Browns, and they posted that number you just talked about. They posted Chiefs -4 against the Bills. And I said, did you take any bets, like as soon as Mahomes got hurt, before you could take it off the board? And he goes, we only took three bets before we pulled it down. Every bet was on KC minus four. So here's a team that has not lost, or, you know, they haven't covered a game since that game against the Jets in early November. But they keep winning. And as I've been saying, like the players and the coaches, they don't care if they cover the spread. They just want to win a game. It doesn't matter if it's by 1-3 or by 20 points, whatever. And meanwhile, on the flip side, the Bills have been the exact opposite in terms of, you know, they're also winning games, but they're covering everything. So I think it's a fascinating game to watch. I'm not going to be surprised anyway that this turns out. I don't have a bet on it personally. I want to wait to see where this is going to go with Mahomes. I think, because I'm pretty convinced that he's going to play in the game, and all the speculation about where the number is going to go. And if it gets up to, you know, we talked about that Packer game, if it gets to like 4.5, 5 potentially, what we would do at that point, if this number goes to 4, 4.5, whatever, Chiefs, I would have to come in on Buffalo and just take the points. And then, you know, again, Chiefs can win, but hopefully the Bills can cover.
What have you made of the journey for the Bills up to this point? I mean, we're talking about two missed field goals from Tucker, the absolutely wide open touchdown pass that would have been with Marquise Hollywood Brown in that game once Lamar Jackson leaves. You have to be lucky, right, at some point. We can go through all the past Super Bowl champs and talk about the luck that they have received on their way to a title. So the Bills have gotten some of that, but what have you made of the, I guess we'll call them a little bit, the struggles for the first two playoff games against the Colts and then against the Ravens?
Well, I mean, Ravens are a really good football team. Yeah. I was actually pleasantly surprised, you know, after that first drive where it was very successful for the Ravens running the football, I thought the way, and by the way, with the wind that we had in that game last weekend, yep, and you knew that like Lamar's not going to beat you throwing the football, so they had to run the ball. I thought the Bills adjusted exceedingly well in that game by slowing down and neutralizing the Ravens running attack. You're right. I mean, you're the Colts guy here. I mean, do you not think the Colts were like the better side in that game and probably should have won that game against the Bills? I mean, yeah, you can absolutely make a case that the Colts should have knocked him off in week one. But I think Dable's been, to think what Josh Allen looks like right now compared to his previous couple of seasons. I mean, go back and look at his numbers from 2018 and 2019. We're talking about the bottom of the barrel in the entire league, Josh Allen. So, you know, the addition of Diggs has been so gigantic for this team, but also like the play design. And I love it that they don't even care if they can't run the football. They're like, well, we can't get Singletary going. Who cares? We're going to throw it 50 times today. Doesn't make a difference. So I love that attitude. And I'm not going to be surprised by any outcome this weekend. I like the Packers. I don't love them. And in this game, I'll just wait to see if the Bills can be, you know, go up to a higher number. That's the point I'll step in and bet them.
9 running back rushing attempts last week for the Buffalo Bills. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, there you go.
I love every second of it. That is football now, and that's the way it should be played. All right, now let's go to the NBA really quickly. And before we get you out of here, Mitch, first off, observations from last night, Milwaukee, Los Angeles, and LeBron James. You texted me, so the market's moving after a pretty good performance from LeBron last night on the MVP numbers?
Yeah, he was awesome. I did see a couple of books move down. He actually might be, I haven't looked at all of them, but I saw him as low as 7-1 now to win the MVP after last night. How good was he last night? I mean, the guy was phenomenal. I mean, and they have the best record in the NBA right now. Like his player efficiency rating right now, I think overall, boy, where'd it go? I have it right in front of me. Overall, it's like number 20 in the league or something like that for LeBron. But you know, this is, when we bet on this stuff, JVT, you are trying to predict what voters are going to do. And we saw this last year where a couple of people came out and they said, I like the narrative when it comes to this stuff and I have a vote. So I'm going to give it to LeBron because of what he, I mean, to give it through him to him last year because of, it was his 17th year. He had to go through the Kobe stuff and they brought up like China before the season. So he got his vote. I thought it was completely absurd, but the voters love LeBron. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not going to be surprised if they have, you know, just an awesome record this year, and it appears they're going to be. And he puts up these kind of numbers. What, he's like 25, 7.5, and 7 right now? Mm-hmm. I think he's going to – he'll be in it. He'll get some votes. There's no doubt about it. Not enough to win it, I don't know, but he'll be in that mix for sure.
How is it now? How is Joel Embiid not giving enough? There's still some spots that have him at like 12-1, Mitch.
So last weekend I was going back and forth. Do I bet Embiid, and he was available at 14-1, or Kevin Durant at 12-1? I was going back and forth for like a couple of hours, and finally I made the bet on Durant at 12-1. Part of me wanted to get down on Embiid as well at 14-1. I didn't. And you're right. I mean, look at his overall numbers. You tell me right now if the season ended, Embiid wouldn't have a great shot to win the award? He absolutely would. So, by the way, books are being very stubborn on Doncic. Luka, yep, very stubborn on him. Still around 4-1 or plus 350. Mavericks, man, you know, they'll come around and they'll win more games. But right now, they're like the 9th seed in the West. at this point, I would not have him as the favorite overall to win that thing.
Hey, it's like that's what I just wrote about in Points Spread Weekly this last week. It was one of the parts of the column was that the books still refused to move off of a guy who, yes, was the preseason favorite, but is shooting below 30% from three and is on a team with a losing record. But at least at that point, they had a losing record. So, and I'm with you. And maybe it's a liability, but it definitely opens the door for a couple of people on the MVP board. All right, before we get you out of here, do you have anything in the NBA tonight you were looking at all?
Well, I mean, first of all, why not keep riding this up? Brooklyn team, I was going to say, over the total, but now Durant's not going to play tonight, and it's dropped all the way down to 223. But look at the numbers since they got Harden. I get it. It's only three games. They've essentially been, you know, top three, top four offensive efficiency since he came over, but they're, what, dead last defensive efficiency? Mm-hmm. I mean, I watched a lot of the game against the Cavaliers. They couldn't come up with stops. I mean, it was just the Cavaliers pretty much in Sexton was the man, but I mean, the Cavaliers got pretty much whatever they wanted. I know we just ripped on, kind of, took a shot at Luka anyway. I might look at the Mavericks tonight. You can find them at -2 right now. I don't think that's an awful bet tonight, -2 with the Mavericks on the road against the Spurs.
He's Mitch Moss. You can hear him, watch him, follow the money. You know that already at Mitch Moss Radio up on Twitter as well. Mitch, thanks for coming on today. Appreciate it, dude.
All right, pal. Godspeed.
Yep, thanks, buddy. I'll never see you again. Mitch Moss Radio, host of Follow the Money, again, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Never mind. I was going to say Paul Howard owes me money, but he paid me, so that's fine. All right, we'll come back. We have more in the NBA. We'll get to those games, including the one that Mitch mentioned. It's pretty interesting, right? So Kevin Durant looks like not going to play today. I haven't seen the official announcement. Maybe we missed it while we were on the air. Don't expect him to. 50 minutes recovering from an Achilles injury. Worth 5.5 points. Remember, that line closed 11 the first time around, so we'll discuss that much more when it comes to the association. Drew Martin's going to be with us as well. Don't go anywhere. We got the last, look at that, 35 minutes of the program, of the edge of its life. We'll be back after this. Pegasus World Cup Week. First Bet is giving new and existing customers a $20 risk-free bet to celebrate the first major horse racing event of the year. It's easy. Visit VSiN.com/horses to sign up, place a win bet, and if your horse doesn't win, you get your money back up to $20. If you're a horse racing fan, First Bet is a place for you. Visit VSiN.com/horses to sign up for this special Pegasus World Cup offer today. And speaking of First Bet, the Ron Flatter Racing Pod sponsored by First Bet. So before you place that free bet, go and check out the Pegasus World Cup previews. You got two new episodes of the RFRP, including that pop-up with Chris Andrews, Johnny Vella, Dwayne Colucci, and Vinny Maiulo, some of the best horse racing handicappers the world has to offer, and, of course, other storylines as well. So check it out, the RFRP, Ron Flatter Racing Pod, sponsored by First Bet, and get your preview of the Pegasus World Cup, which is tomorrow. How about that? Also, we will be adding to the podcast network too. Remember that. Hardwood Handicappers, as I get details on this, we're going to be recording from Canada. So that's a really cool thing. A little travel, huh? So I wanted to mention something very quickly as I am a fan of many, many sports, including mixed martial arts. We talked and gave our analysis on Connor and Poirier earlier this week. Poirier, by the way, the play and then over in the round prop. But I think this is kind of fun. So I was on with Gil earlier today and this is my new title, right? Senior NBA analyst. So what could go wrong when I'm paired with Jordan Sherwood, who handicaps mixed martial arts for a living, who, of course, was on with Gil earlier today. And it was funny, Aaron. So Gil has me on really quickly before I get out of there because, you know, I've talked to MMA with Gil before. He's like, hey, what do you like in the fight? So I give the analysis, Poirier, the over. I think Poirier's improved as a fighter. The stark contrast of the MMA handicapper, Jordan Sherwood, who said Connor and under, maybe even first 90 seconds. What are my chances here? What do you think?
Really good. Okay. Absolutely.
We'll see. I thought that was, when I heard that, I was like, oh, man, maybe I got a wrong read on this, huh?
Well, it might be less that you got you're doing a correlating. If you think Poirier is going to win it, it's going to be over. If you think Connor is going to win it, it's going to be under. So whichever way you do it, you just correlate.
So you're I don't think I asked you this. You're a fringe MMA guy. You like the Connor fights. Did you have a horse here in the race?
If I bet it, I will probably bet Connor, simply because it's way more fun to bet Connor. And in you know, something like this where I don't have a strong opinion, I'm probably just going to go with what's more fun.
So betting Connor McGregor is the equivalent of betting like an over in like a basketball game, right?
Yeah.
Like, and if you bet against him, it's like betting an under. It's just nauseating.
And you feel stupid if it doesn't come through.
Yeah, it's a very good point. Yeah, I can see that, especially because it's a relatively contrarian as you see the price just jump higher and higher and higher. So you see, by the way, the total round prop there over 2.5 plus 135 in that range. You can get a little bit higher depending on where you shop. The under at minus 180, giving you the market's perception on what's going to happen. And to Aaron's point, not surprising to see the under heavily shaded at minus 180 and the Connor price getting driven up as well. It's going to be correlated to that side too, but we will see what's going to happen. I'd also say too, like this whole card overall, it is going to be a lot of fun, and watch out for Amanda Ribas, who could potentially be a very big star in the UFC, at least in the women's strawweight fight, and totally blitzed Paige VanZant last time out, submitted her in the first, I think it was like 2 minutes. It's going to be incredible. I can't wait, because this is where we start to pick up on the mixed martial arts action going forward too. With that, really quickly as well, you know, since it's our last show here on The Edge, I wanted to make sure I get this out because, you know, we're going to have NBA coming up in the next segment. We're going to talk a little bit about some injury reports and some really big games, including the worth of one Kevin Durant to a point spread and whatnot. Also have Drew Martin in the final moments, so we won't really get a lot there. But I think I've said this a couple times, but I just want to reiterate here in the last 90 seconds, very much so, that I wanted to say thank you to everybody that was involved with the show, including everybody downstairs, who I know can hear me at this time right now, the bosses that be, everything like that. I know it has been a not a long journey. We just started over the summer, but been on with The Edge in terms of Matt Humans. We've been on the air for a while, especially a couple of years ago when they paired me up with Humans. So it's been a very fun ride, and it's been really cool. But the people downstairs don't get a lot of credit in FaceTime, obviously, but they're a big part of what we do. Aaron, of course, you've only been here for 3 weeks, but I always appreciate you helping me out as well in the times that we've done this. And then, of course, 100% too, to everybody's listening. I got a lot of kind words on social media throughout these last few days since we've announced that the show's going to be over. I'm not gone. We're working, of course, on regular spots, and I'll be popping up frequently on all of your favorite VSiN shows throughout the weeks, and it'll be a regular spot, so you'll see me regularly and get used to that. But just to reiterate one more time for everybody out there who are watching and or listening, I appreciate you making me a part of your day and actually listening to this show and taking it in. You know, we've always tried to improve and always tried to learn as handicappers. I've always been improving and learning since I have started. So I want to say one more time, thank you very much for the opportunity. And of course, we'll have a lot of good content and coverage when it comes to the NBA as the weeks roll on and as I get more involved in the new role that we'll have starting up on Monday. All right, with that, let's get to the NBA. It's a natural jumping off point. We'll talk about this Cavs and Nets game. We'll talk about some other line moves as well and some fascinating matchups as we have a really deep card today. And then, of course, Drew Martin with his college hoops and NFL analysis to wrap us up with the final episode of The Edge. Become a VSiN All Access member today. Get all of our expert VSiN betting analysis for NFL Conference Championship Weekend and every sport in action for less than $22 a month. Receive daily emails with our best bets from guests and hosts, 24/7 video access, and our Point Spread Weekly Betting Guide. That's everything you need to increase your sports betting IQ. Start your free trial right now at VSiN.com/subscribe. A little bit of news, breaking news, shocking. Taking the NFL by storm. This is the only topic for the rest of the day. Patrick Mahomes has cleared concussion protocol. He has told reporters. That is the important qualifier there. He has told reporters that he has cleared concussion protocol, what that means and whatnot. They haven't had the official word yet. But with this news, news that I think we all expected, right, at some point this week, given all of the reports coming out of Chiefs camp and whatnot. But with this news, what will be the thing to watch now is if the market overreacts to information that we kind of already knew about, right? Again, we've brought this topic up many times. The market has a weird way of working. And even though we kind of saw the writing on the wall that Patrick Mahomes was going to play today, or today, excuse me, was going to play this weekend, we kind of want to see what's going to happen here with this number. And as we speak right now, right, South Point's still sitting at 3.5. There are three minus 120s everywhere you look, or 3.5s with the Kansas City Chiefs. So we will see.
Circa just moved to 3.5.
There it is. See, so, right. Again, my favorite thing is information that we kind of knew was going to happen, right? And we talked about this throughout the week. You're getting a discount on Kansas City. If you read the tea leaves, Mahomes is going to be ready to go, and the market's going to overreact to information that we saw. Mitch brought up, I thought that was a great nugget that Mitch brought up too, right? That when the Westgate opened up that number during the game, the AFC Championship game, before Mahomes got hurt, they opened it up Chiefs minus 4, took only 3 bets. All 3 are on the Kansas City side. So Chiefs minus 3, hell, Chiefs minus 2.5 seemed like a very big overreaction to move the market moving in that direction, just given what we knew about this situation. So sure enough, as we watch right now, 3.5s are popping up almost everywhere, 3 minus 120s everywhere else. So we'll see as the hours go on and as this report trickulates out what this means for the betting market. But just keep that in mind as we move forward here with this game, because it's starting to seem like we're going to get those 3.5s widely available. And if we get to 4, the number originally intended for this game by some odds makers, that will be the story, and we cannot wait to watch what's going to happen there. All right. NBA, 3 more games to discuss really quickly here because they're really good games and there's some interesting betting angles for all of them. The first of which is we get the rematch scenario here, right? The Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers. So they're part of a 2-game set. They are playing each other for the second time in 3 nights. A couple of the nights ago, took 5 with the Boston Celtics. Ultimately, they blew it. The free throw situation was absolutely ridiculous in favor of the Philadelphia 76ers. Not that it was a problem, right? Not that I'm jaded whatsoever by the fourth quarter that took place in that game, and the fact that the Boston Celtics, who actually were leading a good chunk of that game, got outscored 31-17. That's not a problem. But regardless, what sticks out about this game, so we're doing the one thing with the market, right? And we've talked about this with these rematches in these 2-game series when there's, you know, the second matchup, whether it's the second night of a back-to-back between these two teams, whether there's a day in between. The slight shade in favor of the team that lost the first matchup, right? In terms of this, the Celtics were catching 5. That number didn't budge off of 5, by the way, in that first game. And some shops even opened 5.5. But now we're looking at this here. The 76ers are a 4.5-point favorite in the rematch, despite the fact that they get the 117-109 win, cover that number. And the other part about this is there is a change with the Philadelphia 76ers. Seth Curry's back. So that also adds a different dynamic here. So that's what I find. You know, I don't think I will be involved in this game particularly, and I will definitely sit back and watch because the first one was absolutely great. But for the market, because, again, the situation where the Celtics are facing this team once again, so you get the half point knocked off there, maybe the whole point if you want to go to the opening number 5.5. But despite the fact that the half point's been knocked off, there is an addition to the roster of the Philadelphia 76ers that would theoretically make them better in Seth Curry. But despite that, the number is a half point cheaper than the closing number in their first matchup a couple of days ago. So that's the interesting dynamic at play here when it comes to Philadelphia and Boston. The other interesting dynamic for those who are prop players, and look, I've mentioned this before, I am not the best when it comes to props whatsoever, player props, point props, things like that. Looking really quickly, just want to find this to get an example of this. Joel Embiid over at DraftKings. Point total prop, 26.5, heavily shaded over, minus 134. Joel Embiid in the first matchup here, 42 points on 12-19 shooting. He had 21 free throw attempts, which is going to help you out, right? 10 rebounds and 2 assists. But the Celtics, I think, and it played out in the first matchup, still don't really have an answer for a dominant big, and especially a skilled dominant big like Joel Embiid. And so I wonder if we're going to see yet another situation where the Celtics are like, screw it, let's let Embiid eat, and let's just make sure the other guys on this Philadelphia 76ers roster don't beat us. So I'm really curious to see what Joel Embiid's performance is going to look like against a team I think from a matchup perspective doesn't have the horses to keep up with Embiid, even with the addition of a Tristan Thompson, who was supposed to be that guy, mainly kind of matching up a little bit more with Giannis as opposed to a guy like Embiid. And Embiid, again, a qualified MVP candidate. So we'll see if he can match up another 40-point double-double against the Boston Celtics. Other game to discuss, the Atlanta Hawks, I was going to say Falcons, taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves here. The Hawks have been on a little bit of a slide. Has not really gone well for Atlanta up to this point after a 3-0 start to the year. Now, they have won back-to-back games against lesser competition. Beat the Minnesota Timberwolves, beat the Detroit Pistons. You get another matchup here with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Hawks, a six-point favorite on the road with a total of 225.5. Remember, on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, they were a 7.5-point favorite at home. So you see that about point-and-a-half adjustment in this matchup against Minnesota. But the story here for the Atlanta Hawks, their game against the Detroit Pistons went over. That was the snapping of a 9-game streak to the under for the Atlanta Hawks. It's a Hawks team that is perceived by the market, can't play really well defensively, but is a high-level offensive team, and that hasn't been the case for the Atlanta Hawks. The spacing has not really been great for Atlanta in this new look. This new look squad, we'll call it, and they've been a little overvalued in terms of their prowess in that regard. Even go back to last year, by the way, the Hawks, I think if you asked anybody, would say good offensive team, bad defensive team. Hawks last year were actually a bottom 20 team in terms of offensive efficiency. This year, the Atlanta Hawks right now, according to Cleaning the Glass, which eliminates a lot of the garbage time minutes, still decent offensively at 112.4, but over their last few games, from a game perspective in terms of individual offensive rating, it has been kind of a nightmare for Atlanta in terms of the efficiency metrics, right? 104.9 against Minnesota, 102.9 against Portland, 92 flat against Utah. And I wonder if they're still maybe being a little overvalued here, despite the fact that they've won and covered their last two games. So this is going to be a watch to see, not a play. The play for me, as we talked about, Indiana, reliant on the Miles Turner injury report to see if he's going to play. I think he's going to look like he's going to, but we'll keep an eye on that. All right, Drew Martin is going to be with us next. We'll discuss the college basketball. I was going to say football. That's over. College hoops slate, what he likes in the NFL, and much more when we come back here on The Edge. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed immediately delivers quality candidates from our resume database when you upgrade your job post. Get started at Indeed.com/credit. All right, let's welcome him in. His name is Drew Martin. He is a handicapper and a good one at that, of course. He's been with us throughout the college football and football seasons. Last day here today. Drew, what's up, buddy?
JVT, I'm doing good, man. Happy Friday to you. Last day. It's been a heck of a run, huh?
Yeah, yes, it has. It has the edge all over with after today. You, of course, have been not only in these spots, you were with me on the overnights a couple of times as well. So you, of course, a storied edge veteran, and we appreciate the time as always. So let's start. We only have a couple of minutes with you, obviously. We want to get all the information we can out of you. Let me start in the NFL, and then we'll go from there. Initial read here in the NFC Championship game, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Green Bay Packers. South Point now has moved to 4 here on Green Bay. Total still 51.5 or 52. Do you have a read on this one?
Sure. A stat I really like here, JVT. Teams who won the first meeting are hitting 59% in the second meeting in the playoffs in the NFL since the NFL has gone to the division format. That record's 55-39 for 59%. And of course, this being a rematch, JVT, 38-10 Tampa Bay win. I think that that bodes well, especially because Tampa Bay's defensive front put up 13 hits against Aaron Rodgers. I think that that's something that's very repeatable. Now, I know it's tough to go up against Aaron Rodgers at home, 62-35 against the spread in Lambeau, but still, talking about Tom Brady, talking about the GOAT, his 16-1 touchdown to interception ratio of recent on the 6-game win streak. Tampa Bay, number one rush defense, JVT, in the NFL, and that's 2 years running under defensive coordinator Todd Bowles. I actually like the dog here, Tampa Bay.
Okay, I'm in. I took four. I actually didn't think it would go back to four, so you and I are on the same page here when it comes to this one. So hopefully we are both correct. AFC Championship game. Patrick Mahomes told the media just a couple minutes ago that he has cleared concussion protocol. Not a surprise. I think we all kind of expected this. South Point now moving to 3.5, and we were having this conversation all throughout this week, Drew, where the market's going to overreact to information we knew pretty much was going to happen. So now where these 3.5s are starting to pop up. Did you have an opinion here? 3.5 with a total of 54.
Sure. And the key number of three in the hook, I think, is a difference maker here, JVT. So we get that hook on the three. Of course, in the NFL, it lands on the number of three more than any other number. And with Josh Allen being 8-2, that's 80% as a road underdog in his career. I think the Bills are barking as well. Bills, of course, 9-1 their last 10 since the week 9, covering by an average of 12 points on the season. Josh Allen's been great. Don't want to take anything away from Patrick Mahomes. But how healthy is he? I'm unsure. Plus, we get the key number of 3.5. Kansas City just 1-8, their last 9 against the spread. So even though they've been winning games, JVT, with the tax as the defending Super Bowl champions here, I don't think they cover this number. I think both dogs are barking. I like the Bills as well.
So we thinking of Bucks and Bills Super Bowl?
That's what I'm thinking here. Yeah. I mean, I'm betting personally, JVT, this weekend, both underdogs. With the points. Now, in terms of sprinkling a little bit on the money line, I'm going to wait and see, because I actually think both favorites might take some money. So in terms of getting a little bit more value in betting the money line, I'm likely to do that before kickoff. But yes, to answer your question, I do. I think it's a Bucks versus Bills Super Bowl.
All right. Out of all the matchups that we have, you see that pick and total 53.5 as a projected look ahead line here. I can't really complain about any of the matchups we will get. Super Bowl is going to be absolutely fantastic this year. All right. Let's move on. We got some college hoops games to get through with you before we get you out of here, Drew. You know, I'll let you have the floor. I know there's a couple that you like. Out of the four that you sent me over, which one is at the top of your list in terms of either confidence or really just watchability? Out of the four you sent me, where do you want to start?
Okay, I'd probably go with a little bit of a degenerate feel here, JVT, tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, in the WAC conference. We got Grand Canyon in Dixie State. That's in St. George, Utah, not far from where we're both talking right now, in Las Vegas. 141.5 being the total here, minus 11.5. That's Grand Canyon, the road favorite. And I like the over here, JVT. Grand Canyon, you know, head coach Bryce Drew, we remember him, kind of a March Madness hero here. But what I've pinned about his team is they play to the opponent's pace. When you look at Colorado, Tarleton State, two slow paced teams, sure enough, it was low scoring, not a lot of possessions. Middle of the road with the Nevada Wolfpack in Arizona State teams. Nevada, when they played against them, there was over 160 points scored against the Arizona State team, over 70 possessions. And now they're playing Dixie State, a team that's top 20 in terms of offensive tempo. I think this team, this score goes well over the 141.5. I think the market has it wrong. Grand Canyon, just an average defense, and Dixie State, one of the worst defensive efficiency teams in the country. So I like Grand Canyon, Dixie State over 141.5. That's game number 893 if you're having trouble finding it.
Yeah, well, and that's the great our production crew putting just the NCAA logo next to Dixie State is absolutely fantastic. Gives you an idea of the matchup there. All right, let's go to Michigan. Wolverines get a pretty good matchup here against Purdue. They bounced back from their first loss of the year in a solid fashion, blowing out, I'm sorry, Aaron, Maryland 87-63. So what is the analysis for this matchup here? Michigan 4 on the road with a total of 139, Drew.
You know, just Michigan's not a team I want to be stepping in front of at all in the Big Ten, JVT. Heck, maybe a team that not all the way through March Madness. Top 10 in both offensive and defensive efficiency. Number 9 in terms of field goal percentage, 76% from the free throw line. So if it does come down to the end, it's a team I can trust making free throws. And Purdue, not a bad team at all. Top 40 in both offensive and defensive efficiency. But it just this low number. Michigan, the Wolverines, are a team that I don't want to step in front of. And if you're looking to bet an underdog in college basketball, I always like a team that can turn their opponents over, and the Boilermakers just aren't doing that on defense, so they don't set up well to make a key upset here. I like it. I like Michigan over Purdue tonight.
All right, let's move on. Let's go to a little bit of the West Coast action. Cal Riverside taking on Bakersfield. What's the angle here? The total has gone from 122.5 to 125.
Yeah, and I really don't agree with that, because in college basketball, when we get these really slow-paced teams, like both of these two teams are in the Big West, both in the 300s in terms of offensive tempo, I'm not one to bet it over. I mean, the market's pushed it up here to as high as 126. I actually like the under at this number. And JVT, on top of that, you know, and I know this is something you know, but I like to remind people, when the totals are in the 120s, each point move matters a lot more than if the totals are, say, in the 150s or 160s. So betting under 126 is a lot different bet than betting under 122. And sure enough, I like it under. We got this Cal State Bakersfield team. They just cannot shoot. One of the worst shooting teams in the country. So even though they get offensive rebounds, I think it's kind of artificially, their offensive rebounding metrics are kind of artificially inflated here. And you see Riverside, number 322 in terms of offensive pace. They have really good three-point defense, so I don't think this game actually gets into the 120s, and sure enough, we get that extra bumper up to 125.5, 126. I like it under in the Big West Conference tonight.
All right, let's look ahead to tomorrow really quickly. We've done this on the show a lot, right? You can get an idea of what point spreads are going to look like just because you look at some of the models and the projections. They usually float around there. Kansas, a projected one-point loss on Saturday to Oklahoma, 72-71 according to KenPom. What are you looking at for this match?
Sure. And of course, this is a rematch. Kansas 63, Oklahoma 59 last time they played. Kansas, you know, head coach Bill Self, they got a top 20 team in terms of both offensive and defensive efficiency as well, 73% from the free throw line. And David McCormick only had 6 points last time out against Baylor. So that's kind of a question mark there. He's really got to be able to turn around if you're looking to be betting Kansas. But Oklahoma 77. Kansas 77% from the free throw line, Oklahoma 73%. So I think you get a little bump there. And keeping into an actual profile of what I looked to bet here, JVT, is three-point defense. And Oklahoma really struggles in that category. Kansas, three-point percentage, very good. So I think Kansas is able to hit their shots from beyond the arc. And with Oklahoma struggling defending the three-point line, that's repeatable from game to game, both home and away by my betting. So that makes me point towards the Kansas side here. Even though the market, I wouldn't be surprised if it pushes it towards the Sooners.
All right. Any of the other games that you have your eye on? I'm sure it's a deep slate tomorrow, of course, in college hoops. But any other ones that maybe you should point out to people that, hey, keep your eye on this, or this is something else I'm looking for?
Sure. I mean, Ohio State, Wisconsin. Wisconsin's a team that I, you know, a lot of people like Ohio State with good reason, no doubt about it, JVT. But Wisconsin, efficiency wise, being at home in the Kohl Center, they've been great at home. And Ohio State just 3-3 on the road. I think I'm kind of in the minority here, liking the Badgers. And talking about free throws, how important they are, they're flirting with 80% from the free throw line. So Wisconsin at home, I'm not looking to step in front of the Badgers. So depending on the number, I'll likely be on the Badgers before tip off.
You can follow him on Twitter at Drew Martin Betts. And of course, Drew has been with us regularly throughout the run of the show. Drew, thank you very much for the time, buddy. I always appreciate it.
Hey, absolutely, JVT. Let's get together soon, man. And best of luck with your future endeavors with VSiN, buddy.
Yep, I'm very excited. Thanks a lot, Drew, man. We'll talk a little, if I can get through it. We'll talk soon.
All right, buddy.
All right, see you later. All right, Drew Martin again at Drew Martin Betts up on Twitter. All right, well, I've pretty much mailed it in at this point. Aaron, you have the next minute and a half. Go ahead. No, I'm just playing. Really quickly, last prediction, your team moving on to the Super Bowl. Yes or no? Final score, go.
You know what? I've been fading them the entire playoff, so clearly they're going to win it here. So, yeah, Bucks are going to win it. They're going to be able to stop Rodgers. As Brad Evans said, Vita Vea is going to be back, going to completely bottle up Aaron Jones, and the Bucks are going to the Super Bowl.
All right. Are you excited?
Yeah.
I don't know how old you are, but how exciting was the first win for you?
Way 2002? More exciting, because I was in high school, so everything was way more exciting, and it was the first, well, I guess second, because the Terps had already won the national championship.
Okay.
But the first big first pro championship I dealt with, so not quite as exciting as that, but will still be exciting.
You still had your innocence inside you.
Exactly.
That spark, that youthful spark. All right. Well, we're all done. That's it. That's it for the show. It's it for the Edge. Remember, starting on Monday, it is going to be the Nuts in this time slot at 11 with Mike Palm and Amal Shaw. Lombardi Line will extend out an hour as well on Monday, too. So you get 2 hours of Patrick and Michael and Josh and everybody else included with that show. And then, of course, the new program that starts at this time slot. And I'll say this one more time. If you are listening or have listened to a single second, even if you said this dude sucks, I appreciate you very much. And, of course, look out for the new content. We will see you on the opening lines. Last episode of the season. season on Sunday.